Our main reading this evening is going to be in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, if you'd like to mark that. Before that, we're going to read a kind of a lengthier reading in Job, Job chapter 38. You want to stick your finger in James chapter 1. In a moment, we're going to begin reading in Job 38. But I want to begin by asking, what if one person controlled the world? What if one person, I'm talking about just human, what if the person next to you, you know, controlled the things that people said or the things that people did or you know, how the traffic flowed or what the weather was like or you know, whatever it may be. I don't know about you, but I would not imagine that going very well, especially not for the other people of the world. A singular person doesn't know what everyone needs. They don't know how to take care of everyone. They certainly wouldn't know how to make everything work right and wouldn't know how to run everything without collapsing everything into a complete mess. But we were reminded in Job by God in Job 38 and verse 12, have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and they stand forth like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you understood the expanse of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this, where is the way to the dwelling of light, and darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home. You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of distress, for the day of war and battle? Where is the way that the light is divided, or the east wind scattered on the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the flood, or a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain on a land without people? On a desert without a man in it, to satisfy the waste and the desolate land, and to make the seeds of grass to sprout? Has the rain a father, or who has forgotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice, and from the frost of heaven, who has given it birth? Water becomes like hard stone, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the constellation in its season, and guide the bear with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of heaven, or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, so that an abundance of water will cover you? Can you send forth lightnings, that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the innermost being, or given understanding to the mind? Who can count the clouds by wisdom, or tip the water jars of heavens? When the dust hardens into a mass, and the clods stick together, can you hunt the prey of the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions? When they crouch in their dens and lie in wait in their lair, who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God and wander about without food? And the answer to all of these questions when it pertains to Job is no. Job has never done all of these things, but as it pertains to God, yes. The one who does run the entire world does a perfect job of doing so. Now that brings me to James chapter 1 and verse 16. James chapter 1 and verse 16, James says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he has brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Every good thing given and every perfect gift comes from above. This is one of my favorite scriptures to quote, one of my favorite scriptures to use. It comes to mind easily. It's very easy for me to think of the good things that God gives us. The smell of rain, a view of mountains on the horizon, a moment of quiet with my wife, a moment of not so quiet with our children. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy for me to think of a lot of things that I see as very good gifts from God. But I don't always think of myself as a good gift, especially not to the world or the people around me, and maybe you don't either, but that's something that I was kind of thinking about as I was reading this text. Obviously, the greatest gift that has been given to us from the Father of lights is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Word from the beginning. And verse 18 of our text, James talks about God bringing forth a people by the Word of truth as first fruits. Wouldn't someone who is brought forth by God be a good gift to the world? I mean, since that's what God makes, is good things, wouldn't that be true? And James uses this term, first fruits. You know, maybe he has in mind the Jewish Christians who were first converted. He says in chapter 1 and verse 1 that he was writing to the 12 tribes dispersed. But, you know, honestly, he may just be referring to the entirety of the true Israel who has made that way through their faith in Christ. And so maybe he's referring to all who have first believed as first fruits. I'm not quite sure, but in any case, it is a fact that all those who put on Christ are new creatures who are created by God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. And that's something that extends to us today. Are we not, when we put on Christ, one of God's good gifts, one of God's new gifts that he gives the world? This new life that he gives us is certainly a gift to us, but shouldn't it be a gift to others? And I would say that, of course, it should. I mean, that's why we're God's workmanship. And as God's workmanship, we represent his name in this world as well. And something that James highlights and has highlighted in the text that we've read so far is the unchangeableness of God. There is no variation with God. There is no shifting shadow with God. There is nothing that suddenly happens that shakes God from being who he is. And shouldn't his good gifts, those that represent his name, be similar? But I don't know about you. There are plenty of times when my shadow starts shifting. In fact, tonight is one of them. And that's when I'm angry. James 1 and verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person that he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Can you imagine if God allowed anger to change him the way that we do? We'd be in a lot of trouble. And that's why we are glad that God is in his position and that not one of us is. Things that are fleshly and human do not bring about godly things. James said again in verse 20, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's stated to us as a fact. Now I ask the question to begin this evening, what if one person controlled the world? Wouldn't be good, right? But what if that one person was yourself? Or in my case, what if it was myself? And I ask that question because I can very easily see a whole lot of times in my life where I get angry because things don't go the way that I want them to. People don't act the way that I want them to. People don't say the things that I want them to. They don't apologize like I want them to. Traffic doesn't flow like I want to. Weather doesn't happen like I want to. I mean, take your pick. And in my anger, I end up just making a mess of things. And I act more of a burden than a gift. Without realizing that, you know, even if I were to have everything my way, what would that accomplish? Certainly not God's righteousness. And at most, you know, maybe I would get my own satisfaction, but I doubt I would even get that. I would have to live in a world of my own making as well. That wouldn't be good for me, and I realize that. But everything that God does, and God's in control, is a gift to everyone. And everything that comes from God is a gift of everyone. So instead of being quick to anger and quick to think about what I want, what if instead I was quick to righteousness and to think about what God wants? That doesn't seem as easy, does it? It's a whole lot easier to just lose it. And it's not easy. Righteousness does not just spring out of nowhere. It does take some initiative on our part. James points out that if you constantly look in a mirror, you will not forget what kind of person you are. And if you are a doer of the word, you will not forget, is what James points out. If we look for opportunities to do what God says, then we will not be surprised by an opportunity to do what God says. Which in this case, is what James is talking about, is being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. And, you know, we do need to be quick to see the perspective of others and quick to hear the perspective of others. But also we need to be quick to hear and to look intently at the perfect law of liberty that James is talking about. so that we do not forget who we need to be in this life. Even when someone else doesn't know who they need to be, or they forget who they need to be, whatever the case may be, there are not very many things in this life that we can bend to our will. And honestly, it would be a very bad thing if we could, if we really think about it. What's far more important is not things bending to our will, but us bringing God's will into every situation, or trying to bend to God's will in every situation. And that's the example that's given to us. Because the truth is, there is someone that rules. And there is someone whom to every knee will bow down to. And he faced rejection, and he faced insult, and he faced pain, and things that would make me lash out without a doubt, but he never did. Because that would not accomplish the righteousness of God. Think about what if Jesus had faced his situations in anger like we did, like we do. Jesus faced far worse situations than we ever do. And think about what a gift it is that Jesus did not allow anything to shake him from his purpose to do God's will and God's righteousness, and to keep him from doing the opposite. And let's not allow anything to keep us from doing the same. The Lord is ruler, and he is ruler of our lives if we've given ourselves over to him. And it's better that way. If you this evening do need to accept that wonderful gift that is offered to us, and if that is a truth that you have yet to experience, which is the way that Jesus Christ can change your life, please, tonight is the night to experience that. Come forward, or if you need any prayers of the congregation, feel free to come forward while we stand and as we sing.